Today we will continue the Samadhi Bhavana Sutta. From the first day we have talked about develop concentration up to the attainment of jhana, first jhana, second jhana, third jhana and fourth jhana, and also use this concentration to develop divine eyes, knowledge and vision, which is one type of supernatural powers. And that concentration also can be used to develop mindfulness and clear comprehension. And finally, using that concentration to discern five aggregates is arising, and the causes for their arising and their passing away. So yesterday we have discussed form, the form aggregate. Such is form, such is origination, such is passing away. And now we will discuss about the feeling. Such is feeling, such is origination, such is passing away. What is feeling? You already understand feeling is just a mental factor. And feeling has characteristic of being felt. The function of feeling is to experience. There are three types of feeling: pleasant feeling, sukha vedana; neutral feeling, unpleasant feeling, dukkha vedana; and neutral feeling, adukkha masukha vedana. And the function of feeling, let's say the pleasant feeling, the function of pleasant feeling is to experience desirable aspect of that object. For example, when you go for your lunch, when you taste the delicious food, you feel good, you feel pleasant. It is because the feeling, the mental factor of feeling, experiences the desirable aspect of that food. Therefore, the pleasant feeling arises. So you should not regard this pleasant feeling as I, my, myself. Now, we have practiced this many times already. Feeling experiences the pleasant aspect of the object. We have six types of object: visible objects, sound, taste, smell, tangible object, and the mental object. So some people can indulge in the mental object. They keep on indulging in the thoughts, and he or she may feel pleasant. Okay, and such is feeling. So when feeling arises in you, you must recognize it. This is feeling. Mindfulness, no. Feeling has arisen. And further on, such is origination. You further investigate what is the cause for the arising of feeling. Investigation is very important in Vipassana practice. Not like concentration. Concentration, you should not investigate anything. Just focus your mind on the object. But for wisdom practice or Vipassana practice, you need investigation. Nowadays, those who practice mindfulness, I feel they are lacking in investigation. It's just mindful, but they do not investigate it. Therefore, the wisdom is not fully developed. So when you investigate, let's say the food, you feel pleasant when the delicious food touches your tongue. So pleasant feeling arises. So what causes the pleasant feeling arises? What causes the pleasant feeling to arise?
Contact.
What type of contact? Tongue contact. Tongue contact. So we have six types of contact. When your eyes see something pleasant, because of eye contact, pleasant feeling arises. When your ear hears praise, somebody praise you, this pleasant ear contact that causes pleasant feeling to arise. And when you smell something, fragrance, then pleasant feeling arises because of nose contact. And when you taste something good because of pleasant tongue contact, then pleasant feeling arises. And the body sensitivity, you feel, you touch something soft, that causes pleasant feeling to arise because of bodily contact. And the last one, when you think of something good, your old memory, your good memory, there's mind contact that causes pleasant feeling to arise. So you have to investigate what causes the pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling to arise, so that you will not identify feeling as myself. Without investigate cause and effect, you will end up like Bhikkhu Channa, holding on to a self. Therefore, it's very important to investigate cause for the arising of your emotions, of your feelings, of your consciousness. Therefore, Buddha says, such is origination, and such is passing away. So when you investigate cause and effect, you understand cause is also impermanent. How can an effect be permanent? So you contemplate feeling as impermanent, impermanent. Then sometimes you contemplate the causes also impermanent. Both are impermanent. If you can experience or if you can see the impermanence of the feeling, then what Buddha says here is such is passing away. Such is passing away. So since we have six types of feeling, we have six type of feeling born of six type of contact, eye contact. So sometimes when your eyes see your enemy, what type of feeling arises in you? Unpleasant feeling. Sometimes your eyes see your beloved one, pleasant feeling. Sometimes your eye sees a neutral person, neutral feeling. Therefore, from the eye contact, there arise three types of feelings. Similarly, from the nose contact, from the ear contact, there are three types of feeling. Abusive word causes unpleasant feeling. Praise word causes pleasant feeling. Neutral word causes neutral feelings. So three types of feeling arise from the ear contact. And similarly, three types of feeling arise from nose contact. Three types of feeling arise from tongue contact. And three types of feeling arise from bodily contact. And three types of feeling arise from mind contact. So 6 times 3, they are 18 types of feelings. Feeling is very important according to dependent origination. If you want to practice dependent origination, you should start from feeling. To be aware of contact is a bit difficult. To be aware of feeling is more easy. Because if you do not aware of feeling, then feeling condition craving. Craving is the origin of all suffering. So when you can aware of feeling, know feeling has a reason, know its cause, the causes for their arising, then you contemplate feeling as impermanent, impermanent until feeling passes away, then the craving will not follow after feeling. Then you stop you stop the cycle of dependent origination. Therefore, feeling is one of aggregate because of its importance. The next one, such is perception. What is perception? Perception, the characteristic of perception is it perceives the quality of an object. The function of perception is to recognize what has been perceived. The characteristic of perception, sanya, it perceives the quality of an object and make a mark, so that next time when you see again, that perception can recognize us, can recognize it, because you have already make a mark. For example, a carpenter, there are many types of wood: thick wood, red wood, soft wood, hard wood. So the carpenter will make a mark on each type of wood so that he can recognize, oh, this is soft wood, this is thick wood, this is red wood. Another example, like when you first time see a bird flying in the sky, then the perception will make a mark. Perception perceive the quality of the bird. What is the quality of the bird? Having two wings and flying in the sky. So it make the perception make a mark, the quality of the bird. And next time when you see the bird again, because previously you have really made a mark, so now you can recognize by way of the mark. This is called perception. And perception always perceive what is wrong as right, what is right as wrong, because our eye only can perceive conventional truth. Our ordinary eye cannot perceive ultimate truth. And conventional truth is not something real. It's only concept. Whatever we see, even you see me, I see you, it's just a concept. Because our ordinary eye only can see concept, only can perceive concept. So in order to penetrate into ultimate truth, you've got to develop mind eyes, not ordinary eyes, mind eyes. That mind eyes is based on concentration. This is the purpose why we should practice concentration. So ordinary eye only perceive conventional truth. The tree, we see tree as tree. But using wisdom, you see tree only four element. If your wisdom is sharp and you practice four element on the tree, then you will see only particles of the tree. That is called seeing things as they really are. However, because we don't have concentration and our wisdom is not developed yet, therefore we only perceive conventional truth. And conventional truth has no nature of impermanence. Conventional truth appears as solid, real. Therefore you see the tree, although you see it grows, but it takes years to see it grows. The real impermanence is constantly arising and passing away, arising and passing away. So you cannot see swift arising and passing away by looking at a tree. Because when you look at a tree, what you see is only concept, not ultimate truth. Therefore, you cannot see arising and passing away. So the perception only see, perception perceive what is impermanent as permanent, what is suffering as happiness, what is non-self as self. And through your practical, through your life experience, you understand, once you perceive wrongly, one time, you perceive wrongly, it's permanent, it's happiness, it's a self, then it imprint very deeply in your mind. It leaves behind very strong impression in your mind. It already make a mark. Happiness, permanent, a self. And next time, perception recognize that mark, the mark of permanent happiness and a self. Again and again, if you do not practice meditation and you never heard about Buddha's teaching, impermanent suffering and non-self, then whenever you perceive, you just add in again, add the imprint again, permanent happiness, self, again and again, until it becomes so difficult to correct. Therefore, sometimes when a person practices meditation, it comes to a state, he experiences a non-self, he gets so frightened. Many people get so frightened when he sees non-self, because the perception already told him many times, it is a self, it is a self, for years, for months, for lifetime, from lifetime to lifetime. You only perceive there is self, self. Now if you see the non-self, it can be very frightened. So, if you see everything is permanent, happiness and non-self, this is called perverted perception or distorted perception. Therefore, I always ask my disciples to contemplate impermanent, 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 to change the wrong perception of permanent, to undo your program. If you don't contemplate impermanent, then the perception will tell you permanent, permanent, permanent again. Okay, such is perception, such is origination. What's the origination? What's the cause for arising of perception? Contact also, contact. Because let's say I see something, because of that contact, then the mind start to perceive. Therefore, contact is the cause for arising of perception. So when you understand, is perception, you understand the causes of perception. Then you further contemplate perception is impermanent. Then you see is passing away. Sometimes when you contemplate it, it does not pass away because your wisdom is not matured. When a wisdom matured, even though you don't have to contemplate, you just look at it, you see it's arising, passing away, arising and passing away. So this is what Buddha says, such is perception, such is origination, such is passing away. The next, such are fabrications, such their origination, such their passing away. Fabrication of formations. Except perception and feeling, the remaining mental factors we have learned already. Contact, initial application of mind, sustained application of mind, effort, mindfulness, concentration, wisdom, all these are called volition, all these are under formations. And the leader of formation is volition. So let's say we take one of the mental factor of fabrication, happiness. Let's say happiness. When happiness arises, you must understand, happiness has arisen. Understand is one type of fabrication or volition. Then try to investigate the cause for its arising. What caused that happiness to arise? You investigate the cause. Then further, you contemplate that happiness as impermanent until you see there is passing away. Or sometimes you contemplate your depression, your sorrow, all your emotions are under this fabrication formations. It's very important to learn how to aware and contemplate impermanence of your emotion. If not, you will be carried away by your emotion and suffer accordingly. As a meditator, it is extremely important to be aware of one's mind, because all the defilements come from the mind. Tomorrow I'm going to teach you how to contemplate the mind, the last lecture. Okay. So if you understand this fabrication, then you investigate the causes for their arising, then you contemplate the cause. The causes are also impermanent. The effect, what is arising now, the effect, is also impermanent. Next one, such is consciousness. Such is consciousness. We have six types of consciousness. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and mind consciousness. Consciousness is not I, not myself. Consciousness arises depend on their factors. For example, for the eye consciousness to arise, it needs few factors. First, it needs visible object. Second, it needs light. No light, eye consciousness cannot arise. And it needs also attention. Without attention, even there's light, there's visible object, eye consciousness still cannot arise. So when all these factors are fulfilled, and you need also eye sensitivity, blind person cannot see anything. So when light, attention, visible object, and the sensitivity, eye sensitivity, all these factors are fulfilled, then eye consciousness arises, see the visible object, then passes away. So how can it be I? How can eye consciousness be a permanent self? So once you investigate the causes for the arising of eye consciousness, then the identity view immediately disintegrate. And this consciousness, Buddha compare this consciousness like magician's trick. As I said yesterday, we always believe in our thoughts. We make our thoughts real by indulging in it. So it's like magician's trick. Make the false one become real. And you believe in it. When you believe in it, you act according to your thoughts, which is just an illusion. So as you understand, whatever consciousness arises, you understand this eye consciousness, this ear consciousness. If you indulge in thinking, you understand this my consciousness. It's just a my consciousness. Don't keep on thinking. Don't keep on indulge in your thinking. Then you investigate the cause of the arising of consciousness. What are the causes for the arising of consciousness? Mind and matter. Mind and matter is the cause for the arising of consciousness. Consciousness cannot arise alone. Consciousness must arise together with mental factors. And without matter, consciousness also cannot arise. So matter and mental factors are the causes for the arising of different types of consciousness. Investigating in this way, then you can remove the permanent self or enduring self or independent self. Because if you investigate cause and effect, what appears in your mind is just a process of causality. And this causality is beyond one's control. What beyond one's control is non-self in the teaching of the Buddha. Okay, so these five aggregates, we have explained this form aggregate, feeling aggregate, perception aggregate, formation aggregate, and consciousness aggregate. These five are ultimate truth. We say a person, a being, a self, you and I is just a concept. As a meditator, we cannot stay on the level of concept. We have to go beyond the concept and reach ultimate truth. And Buddha constantly told us these five aggregates are the truth of suffering. But why? I think many of you already know five aggregates. What's the truth of suffering? Five aggregates of clinging. You already know. But may I ask you, do you still cling to these five aggregates or not? Yes or no?
Yes.
Why? Buddha told you so many times. If you learn Buddhism 20 years, many 20 years already, told you 20 years, the truth of suffering is five aggregates. But why you still cling to them? Tell me why. Delusion of self? Because you not yet see their dangers. Not because of identity view, because you do not yet see their dangers. Suppose when you look at a firework so beautiful, right? Every time when there's firework so beautiful, then you develop delight. You love it. You attach to it because it's so beautiful. So one day, if you, out of curiosity, you touch it, you want to grasp it because it's so beautiful. You want to possess it. So you grasp it. And you are burned by the fire. Only then you understand fire is dangerous. And in order not to get burned, you have to let go of that fire. If you keep on holding it, the fire will keep on burning you, right? So why you still attached to the five aggregates? Because you have not yet burned by the five aggregates. So you do not know they are dangers. So what is the danger of the five aggregates? What's the danger of five aggregates?
Suffering.
The first is before suffering. What is the danger of five aggregates? Impermanent, right? Because you not yet see the fast, swift, constant arising and passing away of five aggregates. Therefore, you cling to them. And the purpose of vipassana is just to see the fast arising and passing away of five aggregates. Only when you see the fast arising and passing away constantly, non-stop, not light, feeling arise. After 10 minutes, feeling pass away. That's very sluggish, impermanence. Very not this type of impermanence. Let's say when feeling is there, you aware, feeling has arisen, then you look at it, then you see arising, passing away, arising, passing away. You don't know feeling anymore. What you see is just arising and passing away, arising, just a phenomena, arising, passing away, arising and passing away. And when you reach this state, you understand why Buddha say, oppressed by constant arising and passing away is suffering, is dukkha. Is dukkha. So if you feel that the bodily suffering, this is very gross type, everybody got this type of suffering, that suffering not enough for you to get disenchanted. Right? This 10 days you have enough suffering. Sitting 1.5 hours, you have enough suffering. But do you get disenchanted with your 5 aggregate or not? Yes or no?
No.
So not this type of suffering. Okay? What Buddha mentioned is not this type of suffering. What Buddha mentioned, suffering is being oppressed by constant arising and passing away. So when a yogi sees constant arising and passing away, the insight also arises in him. It's suffering. It is suffering. And it is danger. No? Arising, passing away, arising. It's so dangerous. It's not secure. You cannot hold on to it. It's something that you cannot rely on. Now you rely on your 5 aggregate to get pleasure, because you've not yet reached this state yet. Therefore you cling to them. So once you understand, and when you see the suffering nature of this arising and passing away, then you understand. In the Kacchayana Sutta I read for you yesterday, Buddha said, what arises is just arising of suffering. So when you see arising and passing away, arising and passing away, non-stop, then you feel that whatever arises, you feel the suffering. And whatever ceases, you feel secure. You feel very secure. However, it does not cease that. It arises again. Then you feel suffering again. Then it ceases, you feel peace again. Then finally, you understand why Buddha say complete cessation is bliss. Complete cessation is peace. Complete cessation is nibbana. All this you have to experience yourself. Without experiencing yourself, you will never get disenchanted with the 5 aggregates. And you understand every arising is danger. It's dangerous. Only cessation is peace. So you appreciate the cessation. You value the cessation. Okay, and after you reach this state, there are 7 contemplations that you need to practice. 7 contemplations. First, you contemplate impermanence of 5 aggregate. When you contemplate impermanence of 5 aggregate, you remove the perception of permanent. And when you see impermanent, you also see the suffering, as I say, being constantly oppressed by arising and passing away is suffering. So you contemplate suffering, then you remove the perception of pleasure. And when you see impermanent, then you understand suffering. At the same time, you also understand what is arising and passing away cannot be regarded as permanent self. So you further contemplate non-self. And when you contemplate non-self, you remove the perception of self. And when you keep on contemplate impermanence, suffering and non-self, then this yogi becomes dispassionate. When he becomes dispassionate, he does not delight. He does not delight in the five aggregates. Now you delight in it because you not yet reached that state. And he becomes, and he causes, when he becomes dispassionate, he does not delight in five aggregate, and he causes fading away of greed for the five aggregates. He does not inflame it. This is the fifth contemplation. Number four is contemplate dispassion. Number fifth, he causes the fading away of greed for the five aggregate. He does not inflame the greed in five aggregate. And number six, he contemplate cessation, not origination, not reborn again and again. He contemplate cessation of five aggregate, not origination. Number seven, he contemplate relinquishment. He does not grasp. When he contemplate relinquishment, he does not grasp anything. Then his consciousness does not depend on anything. When the mind does not grasp, then the consciousness is independent. The consciousness does not depend on anything. When the consciousness is independent, then the future five aggregate is not building up. It's not building up. So when the consciousness does not depend, when the consciousness is independent on anything in the world, the future five aggregate is not built up. And he inclines his mind into cessation. So as he keep on going, contemplate this seven contemplation, then his mind will become his mind does not incline to greed. So he give up the greed for the five aggregate to an extent when the wisdom become matured, then he will see the Nibbana. This is how, when contemplate these five aggregate, internally, here Buddha didn't mention, here Buddha mentioned externally. We have to contemplate five aggregate internally as well as externally. Because we not only attach to our own five aggregates, we also attach to external five aggregates. For example, our wife, our husband, our son and daughter, our parents. So we have to contemplate both internal five aggregates as impermanent, suffering and non-self, as well as external one. This type of comprehension is more complete, more comprehensive. And as I have said, five aggregates are the ultimate truth that make up the conventional self. And it is the truth of suffering. Every night we recite the Four Noble Truths. What is the truth of suffering? Birth. Birth is stressful. Birth is suffering. Aging is suffering. that is suffering, sorrow, lamentation, pain, distress and despair are suffering. Association with the unbeloved is suffering. Separation from the love is suffering. Not getting what is wanted is suffering. And if you investigate all this, separation from beloved, cannot get what want, and association with unbeloved, all this suffering are surrounded up, founded on self-centeredness. Self, grounded on a self, or self-cherishing attitude. Why human beings, we have such strong ego attachment? All the suffering Buddha mentioned are connected with a self. Cannot get what one, separation from loved one, this is association from the association with unloved one, aging, sickness, all these are connected with a self. So this shows that we have strong attachment to this self. And it's because of latent tendency of ignorance. Ignorance is the main cause, is the root cause for the attachment to the self. Because ignorance is like, ignorance is a black, dark state. In the dark, you cannot see anything. So blinded by ignorance, we think five aggregates are permanent, happiness and a self. So ignorance is mother of all. It's originator. It is originator. It is the maker of all suffering. And to bring this suffering into the end, we need to apply wisdom. We have three types of wisdom. Number one is sutta manya panya, wisdom through listening. Sutta maya panya, wisdom through listening. Only by listening to the talks, we understand, five aggregates are ultimate truth. Self, a person, a being is only conventional truth. And we understand life is suffering. So by through the listening to the discourses, then we get the wisdom. We know how to walk the path. So this type of wisdom is also very important, listening to discourses. We call wisdom through listening. Then after you listened to different discourses, you have to think. You don't have to believe everything. Buddha say in one of the sutta, he say, don't believe everything what I say. Don't believe everything in the discourse. Don't believe everything in your culture. Don't believe everything in what your teacher say. So you don't have to believe in me. Okay? Use your wisdom to investigate whether what Buddha say is correct or not, what your teacher say is correct or not, what the scripture say is correct or not, what the culture handed down is correct or not. There's a difference between Westerner and Easterner. Westerner have more investigating mind, but Asian tends to believe everything, especially believe in what the teacher say. So if your teacher say the wrong thing, you believe in her or in him, then you are misled. So try to be more, try to balance the wisdom and the faith. this thinking, investigating is called Chinta Maya Panya. The wisdom comes from reflection. The Bodhisattva has very strong Chinta Maya Panya. The wisdom comes from reflection. He reflects. Why suffering? When there is death, he reflects. When there is death, they must have deathless. They must have deathless, a state of we call deathless. So he has very sharp this investigating mind. So for those who have investigating mind, it takes a little bit longer. It takes longer time to realize Nibbana. Just like Venerable Sariputta, because he needs to investigate every minute details in order to sharpen his wisdom. So in order to sharpen your wisdom, you need more investigation rather than believe all. Okay? The third one, and Buddha say, once you have listened to the discourse, then you will investigate. And as just now I mentioned, Buddha say five aggregates is the truth of suffering. You listen many times, then you investigate. Then you investigate the cause. The craving is the origin of suffering. Later on, you have to put into practice to see what Buddha said is correct or not. As I said just now, we know the five aggregates is the truth of suffering. We have been exposed to this teaching for many years. And is it correct or not? We have to put into practice until we realize it. This is called Bhavana Maya Panya. The wisdom comes from mental development through meditation. So if one fulfills these three types of wisdom, then he is bound to bring the end of suffering. And as I mentioned, ignorance blind us to see the truth. So when ignorance is removed, Buddha said, Bhikkhu, when ignorance is abandoned and true knowledge has arisen in the Bhikkhu, then with the fading away of ignorance and the arising of true knowledge, he no longer clings to sensual pleasures, no longer clings to views, no longer clings to rules and observance, no longer clings to a doctrine of self. When he does not cling, he is not agitated. When he is not agitated, he personally attains Nibbana. So how to attain Nibbana? Here Buddha said, not to cling. Not to cling to what? Not to cling to internal five aggregates as well as external five aggregates. Then one will finally reach Nibbana. So this is the end of the talk. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.